Turn with me, please, to John chapter 14. What I'm going to share with you tonight, I started seeing when Pastor delivered his message back in November. I think it was November the 14th, and I think the title was Critical Issues or something along those lines. And so what I'm going to share tonight started coming together as he was delivering that message. In John chapter 14, in verse 6, Pastor got a lot of pencils and batteries, and I'm going to turn my back on you for a minute. I'm back. In John chapter 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus saith unto him, and he's talking to one of the disciples, and Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's talking to Thomas. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Pew Research Center is a nonpartisan organization that conducts public opinion polls. Demographic trends, content analysis, and other data-driven social science research. Okay? Recently, the center released survey results about what Republicans and Democrats believe about going to heaven. Now, I only mention Republicans and Democrats because that is how the research presented it. However, the real issue is not politics, ladies and gentlemen, but what people believe, and in this case, what they believe about what the Bible says about going to heaven. What they would believe about what the Bible says about going to heaven. So, the issue is really very, very simple. You either believe what the Bible says, or you don't believe what the Bible says. Okay? Very simple situation. Roughly 66% of the Democrats who responded to the survey and who believe in heaven. So these are the ones who responded and believe. So there are others who responded and did not believe. They're Christians. Boggles my mind. 60% of the Democrats who responded to the survey and who believe in heaven say that people who do not believe in God can still go to heaven. These are Christians, ladies and gentlemen. They believe you do not have to believe in God to go to heaven. That means that only 34% of the respondents who identified as Democrat believe that non-believers cannot get into heaven. So you have 66% of individuals who lean Democrat say that you can go to heaven and not believe in Jesus. And they identify themselves as Christians. The numbers for Christian Republicans are not anything to write home about. 53% of those who responded to the survey and who believe in heaven say non-believers cannot go to heaven. 45% say they can. So 45% of the individuals in this survey who lean Republican believe you can go to heaven and not be a Christian. Here's the note. Last November 14th, Pastor delivered the message, Context is Critical for Eternal Life. If you haven't heard that message or you need a reminder, I highly encourage you to go back and listen to it. Because what I'm about to read next is exactly what he was talking about in that message. In the Pew Research, 40% of Christian Republicans say their religion is the one true faith leading to eternal life in heaven. 40%. 40% of the Republicans who identify as Christians who responded to this survey said there is only one way to heaven, and this is it. 40%. Only 21% of Christian Democrats said this. So almost 80% of those who identify as Christians and who are Democrats say you can go to heaven without being a Christian. So if only 40% of the Republicans who identify as Christians say you have to be a Christian to go to heaven, and only 21% of the Democrats say you have to be a Christian to go to heaven, why even be a Christian? Because you got a 60% of going whether you're a Christian or not if you're a Republican who responds to this survey. And if you're a Democrat who responds to this survey, you have an almost 80% chance of going. So what difference does it make to be a Christian? That is what we are seeing in our country today. This is just a survey that was taken in a point in time. And I wanted to share that because when we're talking about revival, when we're talking about God moving through Christians to bring more non-believers lost into the family, He has a small group to work with. Are you following me? He doesn't have a lot of people who say they are part of His family to work with. It's a small group, okay? Let me finish this part up. 65% of Democrats are more likely to say that many religions can lead to eternal life in heaven. 65%. 53% of Republicans are likely to say this. 53% of Democrats say some non-Christian faith, Buddhist, Hinduism, Islam, can lead to heaven. 35% of Republicans believe this also. When you have, and again, this is a representative sample, and you know how research works. It's a 3.5 to 4% ratio error margin, okay? Which means that this is pretty daggum close to the entire body of Christ. When you have people who believe this way, is there any wonder that there is so much disrespect for Christianity in this country? Is it any wonder at all? Because if you're not willing to stand up for what you believe, then nobody else cares. And if you're not willing to stand up for what you believe, then the things that Jesus says in John chapter 14, and we know it by heart, the works that I do, ye shall do also, it's not going to be seen in this body of Christ. Not this church, the body of Christ. Because they're not even committed enough in their own lives to say, Jesus is the only way to heaven. And if you don't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven, you might as well not believe anything, because if that's what you say, you are not a Christian, ladies and gentlemen. You are an unbeliever on your way to hell. Are you following me? Praise God. It's interesting to me that for those Christians who believe that Jesus is not the only way, it's almost like they're saying you can go to a buffet, and no matter what buffet you get into, at the end of the buffet, you're going to have everything that you possibly could have wanted in that buffet. How many of you know that there is no such buffet like that? There is no such buffet like that. And yet, these folks believe that we can have any kind of belief system and call ourselves Christians and go to heaven. You know, as I read that, I saw three things at work. The first thing is that the folks who took this survey, they have no idea what Scripture says, and they don't understand the purpose of Scripture. That's number one. Number two, they have no understanding, true understanding, of the divine origins of Scripture. And then number three, they have no idea, no understanding of who Jesus really is. Because if they understood those three things, you would not have them saying what they are saying at the rate that they are saying it. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, this message is a you're going to get off the fence message if you're on it. That's the type of message it's going to be, so I'm just telling you up front. You're going to get off the fence if you are on it. Because if you are on the fence after hearing this message, and I hope what I'm about to say falls on deaf ears. If you are on the fence after you hear this message, you may want to go back, get on your knees, and repent. Because there's a possibility that you may not be going to heaven if you are on the fence after this message. What is the purpose of Scripture? 2 Timothy. And the verses we're going to look at are not new verses, but in the context of what we're talking about tonight, they're important. More so. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 16. It says, all Scripture. It says, all Scripture. Say it with me. All Scripture. Now, I want to make sure you understand something. This word all has different meanings in the context that you find it in. For example, the word all can mean all without exception and all without distinction. The other way it means is all with distinction. And we're going to see this tonight because I want to make sure you see what I'm talking about. All without exception, all without distinction. The word all, it includes the idea of oneness, totality, and wholeness. Oneness, totality, and wholeness. All Scripture. All Scripture. Without exception and without distinction is given by inspiration of God. That phrase, inspiration of God, is theopneustos, which means God breathed. So it is the very breath of God put in writing so that we could see it. His very thoughts, his mind. This is the mind of Christ right here in this book. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Say it with me. Scripture is profitable. It's profitable, but it is only profitable, ladies and gentlemen, when you read it. It's not profitable if you don't put your eyes on it. All Scripture is profitable. And then Timothy tells you why it's profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for right teaching, correct teaching. It's profitable for reproof, to show you where you are believing the wrong way. And then it's profitable for correction, showing you how to get back to believing the right way. Why? Because all of it is for instruction in righteousness, for discipline in righteousness, for teaching in righteousness. That's what it's designed to do. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, God breathed, for instruction in righteousness, to help you become more and more of who you are. You don't read Scripture to become righteous. You read scripture to find out how to live the righteousness that is within you. Following me. If you're not, I can go back and repeat that. Because when you got born again, you cannot be any more righteous than you are the moment you got born again. Okay? Verse 17. That the man of God, the man, the woman, the person of God may be perfect, may be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. Thoroughly furnished to all good work simply means that you are mature enough that you can handle the word of God profitably. You see me? You follow me? That's what it's designed to do. Okay? Now, I want to show you very quickly the differences between the two alls. Because it's very important. Because, again, I say context is everything. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching. All Galilee means all Galilee. All, and that means all with distinction. Galilee is the all that he went to. You follow? You see it? All Galilee. Get all with distinction. All Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease among the people. Those two alls, ladies and gentlemen, all without exception and all without distinction, is different from the first all. Did you see that? He went throughout all Galilee, which means he was in a defined place. He didn't go anywhere else. But then he healed all sickness. He healed all disease without exception, without distinction. Whatever the disease, it was healed. Okay? I want to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 from two translations. The first is the Amplified Bible, and then the second is the Passion Translation, which I read that and I said, wow, that's neat. So, first from the Amplified. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof, and conviction of sin, for correction of error, and for discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will and thought, purpose, and action, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's Amplified. Now, this is the Passion Translation. God has transmitted his very substance into every scripture. For it is God-breathed. It will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. Then you will be God's servant, fully mature, perfectly prepared to fulfill any assignment God gives to you. I just thought that was neat. I thought that was neat. So we see here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that the Bible says, God says, the Bible, everything in it, came from him. That is the first place. If you don't believe that, you need to have a sit down with your father, because you are in trouble. If you don't believe everything in this book is God breathed, you are in trouble. Old and New Testament, all of it is God breathed, all without exception. And if you don't believe that, you are in a world of hurt, because the enemy of the soul has an opportunity to get into your life because you don't know what the Bible says. Okay? Now, so So we've looked at the purpose of Scripture. Now let's look at the origin of Scripture. We're going to look at one passage. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to begin with verse 16. And this is Peter talking. He says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard it when we were with him in the holy mount." Now look what verse 19 says. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Even though we heard that voice that day, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Verse 20, "knowing this down the line." Knowing this sometime later. Is that what it says, ladies and gentlemen? What does it say? Knowing this first. Knowing this first. That no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, it did not come from man. How do we know this? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." For the prophecy, verse 21, "came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." That is the origin of Scripture. If you don't believe that the origin of Scripture is from the Holy Ghost speaking it to men who took down dictation, you need to go back and really think about whether or not you are a Christian, ladies and gentlemen. Because if you believe men wrote this book without the Holy Spirit's intervention, you might as well believe that there's a hole somewhere and that there's millions and millions of dollars just waiting for you to find it. If you don't believe that this Bible is from God himself, and if you don't believe that this Bible was written as a result of God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to men so they could write it down, you got problems. You got problems. And it's worth asking the question, am I really saved? It's worth asking that question. Now, the third point that I raise is, who is Jesus? Now, what we're about to see in these verses, especially verse 6, is non-negotiable for Christians. Say it with me, non-negotiable for Christians. And that is what is so disheartening about what we just read with the Pew Research. Now, let's go back to John chapter 14. I probably should have had you put a marker there since we were coming back. In John chapter 14, we're going to read the first 6 verses. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. and how can we know the way? Verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? I want you to hear it this way. Jesus says, Thomas, I am the way. Thomas, I am the life. Thomas, I am the truth. Three distinct phrases. Jesus telling Thomas who he is. Jesus tells Thomas who he is. Are you following me? It doesn't matter what Thomas thought about Jesus. Jesus said, this is who I am. Okay? These three statements, Jesus says, I am the way, it's non-negotiable. Islam is not the way. Hinduism is not the way. Catholicism is not the way. Jesus says, I am the way. And any religion that does not teach Jesus is the way, everyone who follows that religion are not going to heaven. Jesus says also, I am the life. If Jesus says, I am the life, that means that there is no other life outside of him. Are you following me? That's not negotiable. That's not up for debate. That is not up for debate. And see, if you are going to be part, if you're going to be a revivalist in the revival, you have to be willing to say, I don't care what you say. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the life. And then the last thing he says, I am truth, the truth. If Jesus says, I am the truth, that means that there is no truth outside of Jesus. Are you hearing me, people? There is no truth outside of Jesus. Whenever someone says something and it goes against this, they are lying to you. They are lying to themselves. And the sad part about it is we've got a lot of Christians in the body of Christ who are lying and don't even know they're lying. Because they are not willing to say that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the truth. They are not willing to draw a line in the sand and say that. I'm about to show you how important this is. But Brother Barry, it seems like you're kind of adamant about it already. I understand. But let me share some more with you. Jesus says, I am the way. The words I am I have always been. Jesus says, I am. I have always been. There has never been a time when I was not. Okay? Now, the word that I want you to focus on tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is a word that is so easy to miss. Is a word that we read it and we don't even think about it. And it's the word the, T-H-E. The word the is a definite article. For those who remember your English, it's a definite article. Okay? And when a definite article limits applicability, it limits things. Okay? The word definite means free from all ambiguity, uncertainty, and obscurity. That's what definite means. So, the word the is a definite article which removes all ambiguity, all uncertainty, and all obscurity about what Jesus is saying. When Jesus says, I am the, Whatever follows the thee only applies to Jesus. Can you say line in the sand, non-negotiable? I am the way. There is no other way, because the definite article says, which means, again, I'm going to repeat this, it limits the application. And it means that there is no uncertainty in it. There's no obscurity in it. Jesus says, I am the way. There are other ways, but there is no the way. Okay? For us as Christians, we need to get it settled in our minds and in our hearts that, for figuratively purposes, we will fall on our swords. Because Jesus is the way. And there is no other. Okay? We will fall on our swords. And that word way, it means the author, and you're going to love this, the medium of access. So when Jesus says, I am the way, I am the author, and I am the access to the Father. I didn't finish reading the verse. I got so excited. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Okay? The word no is a double negative. A double negative. Which means, drawing the line in the sand, Jesus says, I am the way to the Father. And no one, I don't care who you are, if you are not a member of heaven, no one comes to the Father but by me. No one. No one. We have to be willing to say that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not trying to be mean about it. I'm not trying to be overly, you know, thumping my fist, anything about, but we have to be willing to say, I don't care what you believe, Jesus is the only way. And if you don't believe in Jesus, if you don't accept Jesus, there is no way you're going to heaven. There is no way you are going to see the Father. Hold your finger here and look at John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, look at verse 7. Jesus says, then saith Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door. I have always been, there has never been another. The same thing, same definite article. I am the only one, and always has been the only one. I am the door. There are no other doors. No other doors. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus says, I am the door. So I am the way. I'm the entry point. Without me, you don't get in. Now, I am the truth. This word truth, it means, I have always been, the truth. I have always been what is real. Jesus says, I have always been what is real. Because the word truth is the reality, the veritable essence of the matter. Jesus says, that's me. There is no other truth, ladies and gentlemen, outside of Jesus. There is no truth. None. And if you are willing to compromise and say that Jesus is not the only truth, he may be the truth, he may be the best of the truth, but he's not the only one, you got problems. You have to rethink where you may be spending eternity. Remember, I told you in the beginning, you're either going to stay on the fence or you're going to get off the fence on this message. You're going to either stay or get off the fence on this message. John chapter 17. Hold your finger here in 14. In John chapter 17, look at verse 17. Jesus says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes," look what he says. Remember, what did he say in verse 17? "Sanctify them through thy truth." That's not what he said, right? Verse 19, "And for their sakes, I sanctify myself." I sanctify myself that they might be sanctified through the truth. Do you see that, ladies and gentlemen? Jesus says he sanctifies himself so that we, at this time, the disciples, that we may be sanctified through the truth. The truth of what? Of accepting him as our Lord and Savior. Don't want to step on these. Now look at, now let's contrast that with chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth." Verse 44. Jesus talking to the Pharisees. "Ye are of your father, the devil." Now, why were they of their father, the devil? Because at that time they were not born again. They still had a sin nature. Okay? "And the lust of your father you will do." Why would they do that? Because that is who they are. That's who they were. "He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth." He abode not in the truth. That word "not" means that there is absolutely, positively no truth in him. He abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. Two double negatives. There is no truth in him. "When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So, if we are not speaking truth, if we are not accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, if we're not accepting Jesus as the truth standard, the Bible says that the devil is a liar and that there is no truth in him. You have to make a decision, ladies and gentlemen. You have to make a decision. Jesus says, I'm going to read John chapter 6 for you, for those of you taking notes, verse 32, which says, Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." Who was the true bread? Jesus. He was the true bread. I'm going to turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, for those of you taking notes. It says, 13 verse 8 says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." Jesus Christ, the same yesterday. He was the way yesterday. Today, he's the way today. He's the way tomorrow, forever. Jesus Christ, the same truth yesterday, the same truth today, the same truth forever. You follow me? Last one we're going to look at tonight. Well, before I do that, I didn't read something under when I was talking about I am the way, so I'm going to read this last part real quick. Jesus says, "I have always been the one, me and no one else, who gives a person access to my Father, and absolutely no one, not one single person, will ever see my Father without going through me. Without Jesus, there is no access to God for us. Now, about I am the truth. Jesus says, I have always been the one, me and no one else, who possesses absolute pure spiritual truth, and absolutely no one, not one single person, will ever come to the knowledge of that truth or see my Father without going through me. Without Jesus, truth does not exist for us. Without Jesus, truth does not exist for us. The last one, I am the life. I am. I have always been. I have always been the life. I have always been the only life. No one else. That word life is Zoe, simply means eternal life. Jesus says, I am the life. I'm the only one who has ever had eternal life. Are you seeing me? It doesn't matter how many times you go to that booth and ask for forgiveness. It doesn't matter how many times you do that. Jesus says, I am the only one who has life. I am the only one who has it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not willing to fall on your sword for that, you need to rethink your salvation. There's no other life outside of Jesus. Okay? John chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 25 and 26, and we're closing. John chapter 11, verses 25, it says, And Jesus said unto Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, believeth in me what? Believe in me that I am the life. Whosoever believeth in me that I am the life shall never die. What do you mean never die? Never die eternally. Never spend a moment in the lake of fire. That person will have eternal life. Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, again, we're not looking at new verses, but we're putting them all together for this message. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 says, Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. How can we be alive unto God through Jesus Christ? Jesus is the life. That's how. Jesus is the life. There is no other. There's no other life coming other than Jesus. Jesus is the life. You have to be willing to stake your eternal salvation on that. If you have any doubts, if you have any questions on the inside of you, you need to take a look at whether or not you truly belong to Jesus. These are non-negotiables, ladies and gentlemen. Non-negotiables. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 16 says, talking about Jesus, who is made not after the law of a, talking about Jesus being the high priest, who's not made after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. An endless life is a life that has no beginning. An endless life. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the endless life. Are you willing to stake your eternal salvation on what I just said? You don't have to turn to it, but I'm close. You may be close to 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. How did God give us eternal life? Verse 11 tells us, and this life is in his Son. Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. Do you see this, ladies and gentlemen? So he who has the Son has life means that the person who does not have the Son does not have life. That wasn't too hard, was it? And he, well, I should have just finished reading the verse. And he that has not the Son of God hath not life. And those two words are double negatives, meaning you are not going to heaven. You may go to church every Sunday, sing in the choir, be on the praise team, do have different roles in the church. But if you don't believe that Jesus is the only way and there is none other, if you don't believe that Jesus is the only truth and there is none other, if you don't believe that Jesus is the only life and there is none other, you are not going to heaven. No matter what you are doing in the church, service in the church does not equal eternal life. First John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12 says, he that hath the Son hath life. The only way you can have the Son is by accepting him as your Lord and Savior, and he ends up on the inside of you. If that is not happening, you are not going to heaven. Jesus says, I have always been the one, me and no one else, with eternal life living in me. And absolutely no one, not one single person, can receive eternal life and my Father without going through me. Ladies and gentlemen, without Jesus, there is no eternal life. Without Jesus, there is no eternal life. This message tonight, when I was growing up in church, they would call this a come to Jesus message, because it's not easy to hear. Because when you think about most Christians, they don't see what we just saw tonight. They don't see it. But what we just saw tonight is a dividing line in the sand between those who go to heaven as Christians, who say they're Christians, and those who don't. Because if you don't believe what John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way. Jesus says, I am the truth. Jesus says, I am the life. Which means there's no other way, there's no other truth, and there's no other life outside of Jesus. This is the message that you go home and chew on it. Because you have family members and friends in your life who don't believe completely what we have looked at tonight. They need to believe that. They need to see this. They need to understand this. Because if they are not in any way fully committed to Jesus, the way we looked at tonight, they're not going to heaven. Well, Brother Barry, what do you mean by being fully committed? Great example. Lord just dropped this in my spirit. You have a hen. A hen lays an egg, right? So that she lays an egg, and that's what she gives to the breakfast table. What does the hog have to do to give to the breakfast table? He has to give his all. He has to give his life if he is going to be a participant in the breakfast table. Are you following me? We have to be willing to give all of who we are. When we stand on the ground that says Jesus is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. All of it. No backing down. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there is no one else. I am so thankful for you guys. Because there are very few who can hear a message like this. Very few. But I think that, you know, we go to a church where we have a pastor that has laid the foundation and the groundwork for years to get us to the point where we can hear this truth, believe this truth, act on this truth. So I am thankful that you're here. It blesses my heart that you're here. And it blesses your Father that you're here also.